This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Scoreboard show underway from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Throw a 1-800 in front of that if you're outside of the area. It's late night with the Jags.
Love it, man. A couple of things we got to tell you. You know, it's late night here. It is early morning in the UK, and we've got some of our friends over the Bold City Brigade chapter, yes. UK version.
Yes, sir.
Asked us, requested a shout-out on the post game at some point tonight. We promised and we'd give them one, so much love if you're up there at 5:21 in the a.m.
Yeah, according to our Jaguars Radio Network studio clock, it is 5:21 in London.
We've got the Jacksonville and the London clocks, yes, taken care of, and so good stuff there. And, you know, one thing, too, JP, that we'll talk a lot about throughout the course of the post game here, but I thought Alan Bradford really showed up in the second half tonight. We look at Nate Stupar having a chance. Nate Stupar had some missed tackles in the middle of the field. Bradford's a guy who almost had to force fumble, and the ball carrier was ruled down for Chicago, but really made some nice stops as well. And I thought, you know, you talk about guys flashing, I thought he was one of them tonight.
You know, he's a guy that he's now in his third year in the league. He's played around a little bit. He has some experience, but entering tonight, he's 13. You know, Pozlesny's out. Stupar has the chance most of the first half. As you said, didn't looked like it was his first chance with the first team under the bright lights, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as you said, Bradford, good solid night on defense, and we'll see what happens going forward this week. We'll see how bad that Paul Pozlesny injury is, too.
Well, let's hope it's – I mean, they downplayed the significance of it, said it's a contusion. And, you know, if you're going to say, well, wow, they left him home, well, they left everybody home. Anybody who was any kind of injury going into the game – that wasn't going to play. They knew they were going to be inactive. They just left them home. Why have them go through the plane flight? You can get, you know, you have soft tissue injuries. They can swell up. And why have them standing around the sideline? So let those guys kind of watch it from home. And I thought for the most part we saw a pretty solid performance. Again, look, the final score, you want to win the game, great. They won the first half, and that's a lot more important than the final score.
Final score, though, was 20-19. The Bears over the Jaguars. The Jags are now 1-1 in the preseason. They'll head to Detroit next week. It's time for some phone calls here, Michael.
Let's do it, man. Let's get out to it at 355-NFL1. If you're calling from outside the 904 area code, 1-800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Hop on board. Let's start out in Tallahassee for the first time tonight. Let's go to Chris. Joining us here on the post game, Mike Dempsey, JP Shadrick. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Great. Man. What's up, man?
I'm good. I called from Salt Lake last week. I'm back at home, so a little better on the
you're making
the time
rounds
differential with East and West Coast. But it's kind of exciting to watch. I feel like the past few years, we watch our first team three and out. We're down 7-0, 10-0, and then our backups come in and maybe they make it close, and maybe we win the game. But even though we lost tonight, it's like, you know, our first team, that first quarter, we pretty much dominated, so you got to feel good about that.
Yeah, and I think, JP, you do feel good about the first quarter. And again, even though Chicago got that touchdown, it was a couple of bad penalties on the Jags that helped extend that drive. Jay Cutler's pretty efficient, completing 7 out of 9 today, but you never really felt like that offense was dominating the Jaguar defense. The pass rush certainly wasn't as ferocious as it was last week, but you took a step up in class, I think.
Well, it was expected. You know, I mean, last week it was well noted the guards for Tampa were having issues on both sides, and the Jags exploited that up front and got to the quarterback a few times. And as expected tonight, like you said, a step up in class, and things are just a little bit different as you move on. This offense is very strong moving forward. You know, I mean, there's this Jags offense early probably had a chance to score another touchdown. It was that long drive, 75-yard drive, 12 plays that ended on a Scobie 25-yard field goal. That made it 6-0. So going forward, you want to punch it in the end zone there. You would love to, but you'll take the points. And if your defense playing that well, you can live with some field goals.
Yeah, Fred Taylor made that case just less than an hour ago that, you know, if you get points consistently, you're not going to punch it. Look, the guys on defense are getting paid as well.
but you want
your share. If you get first and goal at the seven, you want to punch in more of those, then you have to settle for field goals. In this case, it worked out. They got the momentum and came right back, getting the turnover on the kickoff, able to punch that one in and really cap off a dominant first quarter. 355 NFL 1. Join us here on the Scoreboard Show. Saqib, on the south side, you're up next here on Jaguars Radio. What's going on?
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to ask just a quick one. You know, I do like Haney's performance, but if our offensive line is going to be a problem and the injuries are just not as good, you know, why not just play Blake? Because he can at least get away from the rush. He can, you know, run away. He can, you know what I mean, do a lot of more stuff than Chad Haney. Chad Haney is just a sitting duck, so why not just put the kid in? At least he can make some plays than Chad Haney can, you know? But that's what I think. That's my opinion on that. I would love to see him start the week one. That's just my preference. He did a good job tonight, but, you know, that's just, if we're going to have a problem with offensive line, that's just my point.
All right, well, I'll say that I didn't notice, JP, to me, there wasn't a problem. I didn't think Haney was under constant duress all night.
No, I thought he
did a nice job tonight, actually, throwing on the move. Now, he missed the one big opportunity on his final throw that I could have had about a 30-yard completion to Mike Brown. But before that, he had made a couple of nice plays rolling to his left. He's not as mobile as Blake Bortles is. But, you know, you're going into this game where – Gus Bradley had already, you know, reiterated, this is our guy, okay? Maybe we're going to get Blake some time with the ones. Then Chad Haney comes out and throws for 130 yards and a touchdown and doesn't come close to turning it over. You're not bad. I mean,
he's the guy.
He solidified his grasp on the job if he did anything tonight.
No doubt. And there's something to the – going back on researching this week, I went back and watched the Gruden video with Bortles in the pre-draft process where he had the quarterbacks in and such, and – you know, he would make a list every time. Oh, he did great under fire. He was on the run. He was under fire, but he made a great throw and this and that. When you look down the list, everything's under fire. You don't want your third overall quarterback under fire all the time with an offensive line that's gelling all the time. So I think there's another argument to that. Let Henny go in there. He's the veteran. He's the guy that can keep the offense moving, get him in and out of the huddle, let that line build together. If that's ready, if Bortles is ready, then put him in. But – do you want him under fire? I don't know.
No, I don't think – well, you don't want any of your quarterbacks under fire. But I think, look, it's a nice problem they have tonight because I thought both quarterbacks played well. Mm-hmm. But if you really look at Blake, he had more eye-popping plays.
Oh, yeah.
But he also had more mistakes than he had, more bad throws today than he had in week one.
Well, there was one behind Mike Brown. Was it a shoelaces? Remember
right, the
one?
Very first throw, I believe that was. He had another one that he kind of threw that he could have picked up a nice gainer, and he kind of threw through some traffic and – maybe he was lucky that ball didn't get batted and possibly intercepted. I'm not saying he was terrible, by, you know, far from it. One of his incompletions was that ridiculous throw out of the end zone that was a phenomenal throw. And as Fred said, that was worthy of a challenge just for the fact that he was willing to take that shot.
That's right. I agree with that. But good night for both quarterbacks tonight. Henny, 12 of 17, 130 yards, a touchdown. Bortles, 11 of 17, 160 yards. And the Jags fall tonight to Chicago 20-19. Come protect the bank September 21st. Jags Colts at 1 o'clock. You got to be here. Great home opener. Best game day experience in the league with the world's largest video boards. Tickets going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. More calls when we return. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Welcome back. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville, none of which are open at 12:30 a.m., I'm guessing, Mike, right?
I hope not. Not legally, anyway.
We roll along. Bears over the Jags, 20-19. This is the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll take your calls tonight. We mentioned quarterbacks earlier. Good overall night for both of them. Henny, Bortles. Morris was 3 of 6, had an interception late. No Stansy tonight in this game. On the other side, it's worth noting, Jimmy Clausen, 11 of 15, 94 yards. Cutler, 7 of 9, 75 yards and a touchdown. on the other side, and Palmer 6 of 9 for the Bears.
Couple of things here for Morris. And this is a guy who's playing for a roster spot, or at least a practice squad
spot,
right?
Yeah.
He had an opportunity on a third down with about 5 minutes and 45 seconds left in the game that if he hits it, doesn't completely put the game away, but really puts the Jags in a position to maybe continue that drive, milk some more clock, and then maybe kick a field goal. Maybe that game does get put out of reach at that point. And never got his feet set in the pocket, really rushed, sloppy mechanics, and overthrew his intended target down the left sideline. Of course, then the decision, it's almost like he didn't see the defender on the interception that closed out the game there. So, you know, here's a guy, you could say as a Jag fan, oh, what's the big deal? They're 13 beat our 13. And for the most part, you're right. But for a guy like that, he's fighting for his NFL life right now, and it was not a good night for Stephen Morris.
Offensive line, Mike. That was one of the big topics coming in was the interior of the line, center, right guard. It's been the story for the last 3 to 4 weeks in camp, the first week of the preseason, too. And now even certainly in tonight when there was supposedly going to be four centers playing this game. Mike Brewster got the start, the word coming out. He feels comfortable on his night. Gus Bradley, Chad Henne do also. But Wanko goes down with what is a sprained ankle officially, if you've just joined us. No fracture in the ankle. That's good news. Linder, you heard Baselli on the broadcast say a couple of times on run blocking that he just dominated guys, which is kind of, that's come out of really nowhere the last few days. Linder going to center all of a sudden.
Isn't it easier in theory to find a guard? I'm starting to like the idea of Brandon Linder at the center position, you know, because he handled his business as a rookie. And as Tony pointed out on the broadcast, he had one that he really kind of had to reach for his guy. He wasn't straight up over him, so he had to get the snap. He didn't panic. He got to him, and then once he got his hands on him, just totally dominated him, drove him back 4 yards, ended up on his back, classic pancake block. So, you know, good night for him. And I thought after a rough go of it on an early run play, on a 3rd and 1, I believe it was, they kind of tried to run wide with Toby Gerhardt. Would have liked to see him pop it up in there, but you had Luke Jokel kind of got dominated on that one play. Outside of that, you didn't really notice Luke Jokel again tonight. We talked about that in the pregame. If you have that with your left tackle, you can live with that. You'd like to see him throwing a few pancake blocks of his own, but you'll take a night where his name doesn't get called very often.
Which is, well, a couple of games in a row where we haven't heard from Jokel. That's a good start, at least, in this preseason. Defensively, pass rush tonight, not as big of a deal as it was last week, but they kept that run game for the Bears in check tonight. Forte didn't have much at all.
No, the run game was kind of shut down. The touchdown that Jay Cutler threw to Brandon Marshall, I mean, it was evident. The guy could have picked his target, and eventually somebody was going to come open because they really didn't get to him. But once again, Tyson Alualu, the guy much maligned, right? More so because of where he got drafted than you know, anything he's done in his career or failed to do. But you know, back-to-back weeks now with a sack for him. So, you know, he's got versatility. As we talked about, showed great brute strength tonight, got his hands on Jimmy Clausen. And once he got that one hand on his jersey, it was over with for Clausen. He was going down.
We continue on defense. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Phone lines are open. Secondary tonight. Gratz had a couple of pass interference penalties, actually back-to-back. As Fred said in the earlier show, it's just – the referees are really tight on things right now. They always are. They have emphasis on certain things in the preseason, hands and such. So there might have been some of that to that. Not that they weren't penalties. They were. But some penalties on the back end. But a guy like Josh Evans, he comes through with a tip ball interception. Telvin Smith played well again tonight. Some positives to go with some of the penalties.
You didn't notice Telvin Smith as much tonight, but he did. He's the one who tipped that ball. Yeah. He got his hand on the ball. So that's a big play for Telvin Smith. And kind of a splash play. You had the Florida State-Florida connection on that play with Telvin Smith and Josh Evans. But going back to Dwayne Gratz, his immediate reaction, and sometimes guys sell it if they're savvy, but he thought the penalty was on the receiver on that play, on the one up the sideline. Dwayne Gratz, the one thing that stood out tonight, boy, he will come up and run support. And you look at that Seattle model, again, of the bigger corners, physical guys. Dwayne Gratz was meeting ball carriers at the line of scrimmage, and unlike a lot of DBs we've seen in recent years with this football team, when he made contact, he was wrapping and dropping guys on the ground.
And I think that was a swing pass, if I'm not mistaken, was Forte out to the side that he came up and
in
just
space.
Popped him. With it was a short play. It was a short yardage situation, too, and dropped him short of the line to gain.
355-NFL-1 if you'd like to get on board. Pat on the south side next up here on the Scoreboard Show. What's going on, Pat?
How you doing, old Mike?
We're good.
I just got a question about one of the penalties near the end of the game. I know it's preseason, but it meant this penalty more than likely gave Chicago the score. And that was when they had that roughing the passer. They replayed that thing, and I didn't see the guy was even pulling up as he touched the quarterback. Did you see that play?
Yeah, we saw it. I mean, he didn't hit him in the head.
It was Mike Harris. It
wasn't head-to-head contact. I mean, right. He basically, you delivered a shot to the quarterback who looked like to be perfectly legal. So, yeah, it looked
That's
like a blown call.
And one other good point I'd like to make out, the kickoff defense was excellent. I don't think Chicago got beyond the 15-yard line all night.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit with Fred Taylor as well, JP. I mean, the first seven drives, and thank you, Pat, for the call, didn't start outside their 20, but one time, and that was on the 23-yard line, and consistently the Jags had them backed up between the 10 and the 15. That's phenomenal. I mean, you expect to have a pretty good defense. The defense has all that space behind them to work with. You're going to have a much better defense over the course of the year.
Yeah, really good a couple weeks in a row for this special teams. You know, back to the penalty, too. That's one where the referees have to make a call right away. And usually, you know, he left his feet. He didn't hit him with a helmet. That was pretty clear in the replay. But in the spur of the moment, they might have had a bad angle. I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate. It wasn't a penalty.
It was a bad call. So. Right. It was a bad call ultimately. But the referees are conditioned to protect the quarterback almost at all costs at this point.
And that, fair or not,
is
what it is. Phone lines are open. We'll take more of your calls coming up. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Bears over the Jags in Chicago tonight. 20-19. Scoreboard show rolls along after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard show moving right along. Late night with the Jags, 2019, the Bears over the Jaguars at Soldier Field tonight. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, a little less than 10 minutes left in tonight's show. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. Register at jaguars.com/firehouse subs, and on the night that David Lamb speaks to Mike Hollis, of all people, the Jaguars kick four field goals tonight. Two of them qualify for subs.
We talked about that in the pregame, right? I mean, the one thing the Jags have always had is consistency at the kicking position, right? And go to Firehouse tomorrow, right? Thank you, Josh Scobie. they didn't get the opportunity last week. The one snap took him out of range, but Scobie with a 49-yarder that got him on the board first. You don't ever really like to see the 25-yard field goals. You'd rather see them punch it in the end zone, but you take three as opposed to nothing else, and then came back with a 43-yarder. So perfect on the night and in the early going here on the preseason.
Scobie from 49, 25, and 43. Redfern hit one from 29 as well. So the kicking game is solid again tonight. Let's go back to the phone line.
Let's do it. 355-NFL-1. I believe we've got Joe out in Callahan next up here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
What's up?
I'm kind of excited, very excited after the show tonight, especially if you take after the first, you know, the first two teams, because our first teams beat theirs. Their grocery store workers and their, you know, weekend football players beat ours. So if I look at it that way, Chet Henne did look good tonight. I'd like to see more out of the running game, but maybe, you know, with the offensive line kind of gelling together later. But I was actually very excited, especially with the defense. Everything that we've heard that Gus Bradley was going to bring as a defense that we were promised with Del Rio, we actually got it now.
Yeah, I think, you know,
it's fair.
We're seeing that. And JP, as the game was progressing in the fourth quarter, and, you know, you want to win. You want to hang another W. You want to start to continue. You just enjoy that good feeling. This young team, you want to experience victory in any circumstance. But we're sitting there saying, look, 90-man roster, right? You're going to cut it down to 53 eventually. It's 37 guys that are playing on each of these teams. They're not going to be on at least 37. You might cut more. You might pick up a few that are cut from other teams. So a minimum of 37 of these guys will not be playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's, I think, where you're seeing a good chunk of the guys who are on the field down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
I'll give you this. Yes, it was ones versus ones. Chicago is a very good football team. And we'll see how good they are defensively. We know they're going to be okay on the offensive side of the ball. with what they have, firepower and all. But I want to go back and see the tape and see really what Chicago did defensively when they had chances. Did they bring some pressure in different places? I don't remember a lot of that. It was the offensive line played pretty well, but the times Henny was back there, and Bortles for that matter, yeah, he had to run around a little bit, but there wasn't a lot coming out. I know last week, remember, Tampa Bay was so vanilla, we didn't know. I mean, it was just they would stand back there. It was like one blitz all game, right? I'm curious to see really what Chicago did.
Didn't get the sense, and that's a good point. I didn't get the sense that they threw the house.
Right, because it's still week two. They're working on themselves a little bit still. You know, you're not going to see a lot of that the first couple of weeks of the preseason.
You know, we're tweeting with guys.
No offense. I'm not saying it's still a good effort. It's ones versus ones, yes. But is it the ones you're going to see week one for Chicago?
We know that nothing you see, even in week three of the preseason, you're not going to see everything you're going to see because you're not going to have the full install game plan like you typically would in a regular season. Tweeting with some Jaguar fans throughout the course of the game, they pointed out, hey, you know what, we're doing the same thing. We're not coming with the house. But the difference is I do think Gus Bradley's defense is predicated on getting pressure without bringing the house. Can you get the pressure with the front four? The front four didn't get a ton of it on Jay Cutler tonight. It's just one snapshot, man. We move on to next week, see what they do against Detroit.
And speaking of pressure, you know, there's a new nickname now for the four Leo package. We saw some reporting after the game. The Cheetah package. Get ready for that. Moving forward,
how
speaking
does
of
the Jaguars feel about the Cheetahs?
Pressure.
Do they get along? How does that work?
No. We'll discuss in a moment. The Scoreboard Show wraps up in just a moment. Last chance for your calls. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. 2019 Bears over the Jags. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment, Bears over the Jags 2019. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Let's look at the Baptist Health System injury report. Baptist Health System changing health care for good. Austin Pastor with a broken hand. Not sure the severity, but it's a broken hand. That's not ideal, obviously. Luke Bowenko, x-rays negative. A sprained ankle is the ruling there. So two offensive linemen, one worse off, it seems, than the other. But definitely, obviously, offensive linemen, anything lower extremity, ankle, foot, it's hard to do anything, broken or not.
Sure, but Fred Taylor made a good point, though. Look, you're an offensive tackle. You're using your hands. You're hand fighting with those guys coming off the edge. So, you hope maybe Austin Pastor, it's, you know, just – there are different degrees of breaks, obviously. You hope it's something that a few weeks out, maybe early in the regular season, you can have him slated to come back. And, you know, that's we haven't talked too much in terms of concern with left guard and the two tackle positions. And now you've got a question mark, and we'll see if Cam Bradfield can step up his play.
Sounds like Cecil Shorts III could be back this week on offense. He was in pads working off to the side last week, as was Dakota Watson, the auto linebacker, too. So some positive guys maybe coming back next week. So, biggest thing to improve upon going into this Detroit game?
To improve upon? Boy, maybe, you know, get that pass rush recharged a little bit this week after kind of taking not necessarily a step back, but a quieter week in that regard. And I'd like to see a little bit more out of the running game. I think the passing game has been pretty good, especially tonight between both the first couple of quarterbacks in there. Maybe a couple more explosive plays in the running game next week.
Hey, the Lions and the Jags at Ford Field, Detroit, Friday the 22nd, 7:30 kick. We're on the air at, what would that make that, 4:30 with the Publix Tailgate Show and a 6:30 countdown to kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network.
I'll be here.
I'll be here, too.
Look forward to it.
Mike Dempsey, J.P. Shadrick, our thanks to Linda Fortunato, Tony Smith as well. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks for the calls tonight. We'll see you next week before the Jaguars visit the Detroit Lions. Final score again from Soldier Field, Chicago. The Bears 20, the Jaguars 19. That's it for the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.